Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is your host to welcome you through the squeaking door into the land of ghosts, vampires, and other gay, hilarious people.
Good evening, Mr. Mr. North and South American, all the ships and clippers at sea. Let's go to Brass Flash, London.
Now, in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, the only national program that brings you authentic police case history, Gangbusters.
By George, I'll... Oh, my goodness! McGee, aren't you ever going to straighten out that closet?
This was radio, a treasure chest of golden sounds and voices. It was home to the greatest names in entertainment. Radio, as we know it, was born in the 20s, a time of high hopes and widespread prosperity. Here was a whole new kind of entertainment, with truly something for everyone. Radio meant laughter.
Well, let's see. There's on the bags. We have who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third.
That's the same thing you gave me in 1938. I'm still trying to find out.
It's the same name.
All right. Now, who's on first?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who is on first?
Why do you keep asking me?
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you.
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's right.
Go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who? That's the man's name.
Now, look. When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it. And why not? After all, the man's entitled to it.
Who's entitled to it?
Certainly.
Well, who gets the money?
Every dollar. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes.
Why, it's Gracie Allen. Oh, Gracie, what are you doing here? I didn't expect you.
Well, neither did my mother, but here I am.
Look, Gracie. Gracie, I like you, but I'm having trouble enough.
Yeah, I know. I heard your program last week. Well, why your girl let that awful Mrs. Flounder produce the picture for you is a mystery to me. Now, if you let me produce the picture, it'll be a mystery to everybody on account of...
I know that, but Gracie...
Well, you don't have to worry if I produce the picture. I've never ruined anybody's career, and all I want is a chance.
Yeah, look, Gracie, when it comes to making pictures, you're a complete novice.
Oh, please, I'm not that good.
Eddie, having trouble?
George Burns, where?
How long has Gracie been here?
Oh, about 3 or 4 minutes, George.
Have an aspirin.
Hey, Bud. Bud.
Huh?
Got a match?
Match? Yes, I have one right here.
Don't make a move. This is a stick-up.
What?
You hate me.
Mister, put down that gun.
Shut up. Now, come on. Your money or your life? Look, Bud. I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over.
Radio was the master of mystery.
Lights out, everybody. Shadow knows.
radio was a front row seat at a Broadway theater or movie palace.
Theater time. Broadway is buzzing with excitement and eagerly waiting to welcome an opening night performance at the little theater off Times Square. It's just a short walk around the corner. Will you join me? There are lots of uniforms in the crowd tonight at Broadway and 42nd Street. Shall we cross the street here? Well, here we are at the little theater off Times Square.
Have your tickets ready, please. Have your tickets ready, please. Good evening, Mr. First Nighter. The usher will show you to your box.
Thank you. We'll go right in.
Lux presents Hollywood. Our stars, Clark Gable, Claudette Colbert, Walter Connolly, and Roscoe Kimes. Our play, It Happened One Night. Told to the tune of a roaring bus motor, it's a fast-moving story of a runaway society girl and the reporter who helped her run.
Radio was the ultimate crime buster.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Hepatica present...
Mr. District Attorney, champion of the people, defender of truth, guardian of our fundamental rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It shall be my duty as district attorney not only to prosecute to the limit of the law all persons accused of crimes perpetrated within this county, but to defend with equal vigor the rights and privileges of all its citizens.
Radio was the sweetest sounds.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter. Welcome you to the Bing Crosby Show.
And the moon comes over mountains, every beam once again we'll stroll neath the mountain through that rose.
Radio was the home of super adventure heroes.
Look up in the sky.
Bird, it's a plane. It's Superman.
Yes, it's Superman. Superman who can leap tall buildings at a single bound, race a speeding bullet to its target, send steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth and justice.
And the haughty Hyo Silver, the Lone Ranger.
Radio introduced us to the game shows.
All right, this question was sent in by Mrs. Esther D. Pelham of Worcester, Massachusetts. What American sport draws the largest attendance annually, truth or consequences?
I believe baseball does.
Awfully sorry. That's wrong. You haven't told the truth. The answer is basketball. Can you imagine anything more impossible than standing up here in front of a radio audience of some 15 million people and making love to a seal? That's what I say, too. Well, I tell you what. We're going to get a sheet down here, and we want you to lie down on this clean sheet right here on the floor. That's it. All right. Now, you're on the floor, just like a real-life seal. Now, I want you to call your mate. Just flap your fins and bark.
Ah!
at the sign of the Flying Red Horse. It's the famous sign of the 45,000 mobile gas and mobile oil dealers throughout the United States and Canada who bring you information, please. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts.
And finally, radio was the birthplace of a national obsession, the soap opera.
Oxidol's own Ma Birkin. Once again, we present Our Gal Sunday, the story of an orphan girl named Sunday from the little mining town of Silver Creek, Colorado, who in young womanhood married England's richest, most handsome lord, Lord Henry Brenton. The story that asks the question, can this girl, a little mining town in the West, find happiness as the wife of a wealthy and titled Englishman?
Radio was not just the cat's meow in entertainment. It was the country's great communicator. News events could be reported almost as they happened, and people could form first-hand impressions of outstanding public figures. If you've ever wondered what Abe Lincoln's voice sounded like, then you realize what a great gift radio was to history.
The next president of the United States, I nominate him, and I give him to you as your candidate, our great, glorious Californian, Herbert Hoover.
This campaign is more than a contest between two men. It is more than a contest between two parties. It is a contest between two philosophies of government.
As was noted at the time, a Hoover is not a Lincoln. But then, neither was the first president to speak on radio, the unfortunate Warren G. Harding.
America's present need is not heroics, but healing. Not nostrums, but normalcy. Not education, but adjustment. Not surgery, but serenity. Not the dramatic, but the dispassionate.
Soon, hearing the president on radio would become routine for Americans. Occasionally, it could also be entertaining, as this vintage example of Franklin Roosevelt's famous wit proves.
These Republican leaders have not been content with attacks on me, or on my wife, or on my sons. They now include my little dog, Fallon. Well, of course, I don't resent attacks. And my family don't resent attacks. But Fella does resent attacks.
Radio was also there when FDR's successor, Harry Truman, shared a few laughs with the rest of the country. In fact, you might say radio was the cause of all the laughter. For here's what the famous radio commentator, H.V. Kaltenborn, had to say the night of the Truman-Dewey election.
We are approaching that point which I have predicted right along, that as we got in, the country returns, the very strong lead that Truman showed in the beginning would be narrowed down. I am inclined to think that while it is a very close race on the basis of the figures as they now stand on our board, Dewey has the best chance.
A lot of people heard that broadcast, including one Mr. Harry Truman.
And Mr. Kaltenborn was saying, Fallon, the president, is coming in votes ahead in the popular vote we have yet to get. And we are very sure that when the country vote comes in, Mr. Truman will be defeated by another family member.
The big, full sounds of the great orchestras that were so popular during this era were doubly exciting on radio. Paul Whiteman, the king of jazz, made his first appearance on radio in 1922. And on February 12, 1924, radio was there as Whiteman conducted his orchestra through the first public performance of a new work by the young composer George Gershwin.
Thank you.
more than just a great boon for music lovers. It came along just in time to take advantage of America's growing sports madness. Athletes were the heroes of the day, and their fame was rubbing off on the men who described their heroics over the microphone, the sportscasters. There was the exciting sound of Graham McNamee.
Out there, leading up, he comes into Tony with both hands. Tony is down! Tony is down! Yes, he's on from the other side. The referee has not yet begun to count. He has got 9, 5, 6, 7. Dempsey's waiting for him. 8. Tony's up. Tony's up on 9. The fight's continuing. Tony's backing away. He's backpedaling. He looks a little groggy. Dempsey's coming in, trying to get to him. But he's backpedaling. He tries a long left.
And the great Ted Husing.
Here he is in the motion. There's the windup. Here's the pitch. It's a slow curve low. And the Babe swings. It's a long one. A long one going out toward right center. Stengler's backing up against the wall. He can't get it. It's in there. Another home run for the Bambino. So the Babe hits his second homer of the day.
And the unmistakable gravel-voiced Clem McCarthy.
Big is down. The count is 5, 5, 6, 7. 8. The men are in the ring. The fight is over on a technical knockout. Max Schmeling is beaten in one round. The first time that a world heavyweight championship ever changed hands in one round.